Today, the end of globalization. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. Well, yesterday, President Donald Trump announced broad reciprocal tariffs on imports from US trading partners around the world. The US will impose a minimum 10% tariff on all trading partners and also slap even higher rates on about 60 countries that hold large trade surpluses with the US. For example, the reciprocal rate on imports from China will be 34%, from the European Union 20%, and from Vietnam 46%. According to a White House fact sheet, the global 10% tariff will go into effect on April the 5th and then will be replaced by the individualized higher tariffs on April the 9th. The fact sheet also states that tariffs work, saying studies have repeatedly shown that tariffs can be an effective tool for reducing or eliminating threats that impair US national security and achieving economic and strategic objectives. A 2024 study on the effects of President Trump's tariffs in his first term found that they, quote, strengthened the US economy and led to significant reshoring in industries like manufacturing and steel production. And a 2023 report by the US International Trade Commission that analyzed the effects of Section 232 and 301 tariffs on more than $300 billion of US imports found that tariffs reduced imports from China and effectively stimulated more US production of the tariffed goods with very minor effects on prices. And according to the Economic Policy Institute, the tariffs implemented by President Trump during his first term clearly showed no correlation with inflation and only had a temporary effect on overall price levels. Now, this announcement provides some answers about the nature of Trump's long-awaited reciprocal tariff plans. After months of uncertainty, the rates that countries face are individualized based on a US government assessment of the levies and non-tariff barriers those countries impose on US goods. The numbers, frankly, are conveniently a bit fudged, but under Trump's plan, countries will be hit with a levy equal to about one half of that calculated cost. Reciprocal, well, that means that what they do to us, we will do to them, he said during the announcement. Very simple. It can't get any simpler than that. Trump and his advisors argue that the practices of many trading partners put US exporters at a competitive advantage to the detriment of American manufacturing. Building a tariff wall around the US economy, they argue, would incentivize foreign producers or US companies operating abroad to build factories in the US and hire American workers, reversing a hollowing out of the country's middle class. Interestingly, the strategy also has another more recently stated goal, generating revenue to help pay for, guess what, tax cuts. New import taxes are customized for about 60 US trading partners. The goal is to offset not just a trading partner's own tariff on US goods, but also other factors deemed to put American manufacturers at a disadvantage, such as subsidies to businesses that are seen as unfair, regulations such as rules protecting personal data, value-added tax or GST, managed exchange rates, and lax intellectual property protections. These so-called non-tariff barriers were assessed by the Office of the US Trade Representative and the Commerce Department, which designed the plan for the new levies on a country-by-country basis. China's cumulative tariff rate will be 54%, and that includes both the 20% duty already charged earlier in the year, added to the 34% levy calculated as part of Trump's so-called reciprocal plan. And European Union's rate will be 20% and Vietnam will be at 46%, according to the White House document. Other nations slapped with larger tariffs include Japan at 24%, South Korea at 25%, India at 26%, Cambodia at 49%, and Taiwan at 32%. The impact on China is potentially a bigger hit on the economy there than it suffered during Trump's first trade war just as its performance was steadying at the beginning of 2025. And there were little signs of damage from earlier tariff increases. The 54% US tariff on Chinese goods announced since the start of Trump's second presidential term will drag the country's gross domestic product growth down by 2.4 percentage points in 2025, according to Citigroup. And economists at BNP Paribas and ING Bank forecast a hit of 1 to 2 percentage points. Last month, Beijing announced an ambitious GDP growth target of around 5% for this year. Australia is at the lower end of the tariffs at 10%, and with America accounting for just 4% of Australia's goods exported, economists say the direct effect of Trump's 10% tariff on Australia will be modest. But then they warned that the broader risks to the Australian economy were significant, with Australia's major trading partners, including China, Japan and South Korea, hit with new tariffs ranging from 24 to 34%. AMP Chief Economist Shane Oliver said the tariffs were worse than markets expected. For Australia, the new trade barriers were more likely to cause growth to slow than for inflation to rise, adding for the case of an RBA interest rate cut, he said. Given the even bigger threat to global growth, it looks like share markets will have a further leg down. Our assessment remains that shares will have a 15% plus correction measured from this year's high, and eventually the Fed will likely respond with rate cuts, although this may be delayed given US tariffs will also add to US inflation. Markets now ascribe an 82% chance the RBA will cut the cash rate to 3.85% at its May 20th meeting. That's up from a 70% chance before Trump's announcement. Traders expect 3 to 4 rate cuts this year in total, potentially taking the cash rate to 3.1%. But before Trump's tariffs, traders were expecting just 2 to 3 more rate cuts this year. The central bank warned that the tariffs and the potential for retaliatory levers could pose a significant risk to the global economy. Ongoing uncertainty surrounding the imposition of tariffs and other trade restrictions between the US and other major economies could have a chilling effect on business investment and household spending decisions and pose substantial headwinds to the outlook for global economic activity, the RBA said. The RBA also said that changes to the immigration, defense, cryptocurrency and fiscal policy in the US and other countries could also alter the trajectory of the global economy, hence their thought about uncertainty. Shane Oliver estimates that Trump's tariffs will take the US average tariff rate to levels not seen in the last 120 years. The risk of a US recession is probably now around 40%, and global growth could be pushed towards 2%. From around 3% currently, depending on how significant retaliation is and how countries like China respond with policy stimulus, Oliver said. So far, Donald Trump's shakeup of the global trading system is hurting US assets more than those in many of the big economies that he just slapped those additional tariffs on. US equity futures tumbled by more than 4% after the US president's announcement, and the dollar slumped. But the impact elsewhere was less extreme. A broad gauge of Asian stocks was down just 1.7% at its lowest, and European futures fell 2.4% before paring some of their losses. The widespread sell-off in global markets makes clear that investors don't expect any winners from the latest, and by far the largest, salvo in a growing trade war. But they also suggest the US might itself become one of the biggest victims of Trump's protectionist policies. The narrative is moving from US exceptionalism to US alienation, said Kok Hoon Wong, head of institutional equities trading at Maybank Securities in Singapore. The tariff announcement has put more pressure on a US stock market that's already floundered this year as investors braced for Trump's policies to stir up inflation and raise the odds of a recession in the world's largest economy. The S&P 500 was down 3.6% this year before the tariff announcement, while the NASDAQ 100 shed 7% and the Magnificent Seven tech stocks have all tumbled. The announced tariffs increase the risk of damage to consumers and business confidence that could endure even if levies are eventually rolled back, and American consumers will end up paying, although perhaps offset by tax cuts, at least for some later. But to an extent, there is an important grain of truth in all this. The trend of recent years of open trade, products being manufactured in countries with a strategic advantage of low wages, cheap energy, and low environmental standards, did mean the hollowing out of jobs in local markets, as can be seen by the reduction in local manufacturing in Australia. Actually, we've become totally reliant on cheap and often low-quality imported products, and so we are, to an extent, all the product of globalisation. Even if you spend all of your time campaigning against some aspect of it, you'll be using one of the great symbols of globalisation, a mobile phone. In 2024, Elizabeth Brough wrote a book called Goodbye Globalisation, where she described the growth and also the impending decline of globalisation. She covered the main drivers of globalisation, from mobile telephone networks to energy pipelines, manufacturing and finance in Europe, China, Russia, Africa, and logically pretty well everywhere else. She actually set the benefits of wide access to cheap goods against the costs to communities that lost their livelihoods and to the environment. But now the conclusion seems to be clear. Globalisation, as we've come to know it, is over. Trump's latest actions reconfirm this, but that begs the question then, what next? Regionalisation? Fragmentation? Worse? Some call it deglobalisation. Others call it, perhaps more accurately, glocalisation. It's an ugly term. Glocalisation is not the global free market, and it's not an autocracy, a nation that operates in a state of self-reliance, but something in between. It involves shorter supply chains, an emphasis on building back domestic manufacturing capacity, and a more strategic role for government. As with any form of mixed economy, the degree of globalization varies from country to country. But we can conclude that the world did indeed change on the 2nd of April 2025. But as for what's next, who knows? I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.